The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, you did it to me again. Even though there is glass between you and I here in the studio, I could smell what you were eating. And you brought in something that was apparently very aromatic. Was it as tasty?
Yes, it was.
The smell.
It was barbecue meat pulled off of spare rib bones.
Whoa.
On a Texas toast.
Oh my goodness!
You know, Bloodhound's got nothing on you, Bill.
That's for sure. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on this Friday. It is August the 10th, 2018. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Have our worldwide live listening and, of course, all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, we'd like to thank some of the media folks in town who support our show, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith. Thank you, Dylan. The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Thank you to Dan Shear, who is seated to my right here. Dan, thank you for your support over the years.
Sure.
Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, including Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Jan Lesher is here, Deputy Administrator for Pima County. Jan, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill. Thank you.
Joining me in our conversation with Jan is Dan Shear. Dan, how was your week so far? You've been pretty busy, to say the least.
I am always busy. They say it slows down in the summer here. No, it doesn't.
No,
yeah. No, it's a lie.
Yeah. No, you were also shepherding what was going on at one of your papers in Sierra Vista, one of the WIP publications.
Yeah, I'm actually the editorial director over all of our papers. We have almost 30 papers in 11 states, and the editorial director supports the editors, and we have got a couple of new acquisitions in the state of Washington, and that is keeping me awfully busy, but I'm still the editor of the Green Valley News and the Saharita Sun, and I love it.
There you go. Jan, let's begin with voters will be asked to approve a $430 million bond election to repair the region's roads. I read with interest, and I'm sure the readers of the Star were also interested in the polling that came out. Star did some polling showing there's favorable support for this measure.
I believe so. I saw the same poll you saw in the newspapers, looking at about 60% favoring that bond issue or that question. And I think a lot of folks know that there are problems with the roads in Pima County. And one of the things we've looked at is simply focusing one single bond issue on fixing the roads. Mm-hmm. And just money allocated to that, we plan to – it's a short-term bond in the sense that it's will be paid off in less than 4 years. So it's almost pay-as-you-go. And it's happening at a time when our Board of Supervisors just decreased the property tax with the greatest decrease in property tax that we've had in the history of Pima County. So for the individual who's going to be asked to pay for that bond repair over the next few years, I think you'll see it offset by the decrease in the property tax. A lot has gone into making sure that this bond, as I say, is just about roads. It is working in cooperation with the various jurisdictions so that where the roads are fixed, and this is just repair. There's no new roads. There's no expansion of roads. It is simply fixing the current roads, as we say, curb to curb. And we will be working with the folks from the incorporated jurisdictions so that they can help us understand where in their community the roads need to be fixed and help us make those priorities. And the allocation will be based first on need, worst roads first. Mm-hmm. And then within the jurisdictions and incorporated Pima County, it is a population and assessed valuation determination so that we have some way of seeing where the dollars get spread around.
And I think it will boil down to people saying trust and transparency. I think that's going to be the when this is debated, I think that's going to be those will be the items.
I think you're right, and I think if you look at the last bond election, it ended up being 99 different projects, and rather than being something for everybody, it became something for everybody to not like.
That was like a smorgasbord.
Do
you like any of these? Well, I'd like that one,
right.
But I don't like the rest.
That's right. Yeah. But pretty much, if the road in front of your home isn't bad, some place you travel every day is probably on a road that is and mm-hmm. that needs some repair. So I have a sense that even if you're grumpy with Pima County or you think we didn't do something right 10 years ago, we just need right now to focus on going forward, getting the dollars we need to start fixing these roads and repairing them. We can do it quickly, as quickly as this money can go in the next few years. Work with our partner jurisdictions collaboratively rather than fighting on this, and then we can hopefully start. That gives us a bridge of time to start looking at other opportunities and funding sources to make sure that there's an ongoing stream of money that's needed to fix the roads.
Dan?
The county has gone down a lot of roads trying to get this fixed, including, like you say, the failed 2015 bond. They've looked at a sales tax, mm-hmm. having things go through the RTA. Individual neighborhoods maybe pay for their own roads with county help. What are some of the lessons learned with how you have tried to solve this problem and have not been able to so far? What are some of the lessons?
I think, Dan, first it's just focus. It's saying that this isn't new roads. It's not too many roads. We've looked at broader projects and adding new lane miles and things like that. But this is simply saying there's a formula to it. You can go to the Pima County website and see, they call it a phaser rating. Don't ask me what that stands for, but it's actually how you rate a road on a 1 to 5 of whether it needs to be repaired or not. You can go to a map and see what roads will be repaired, what won't be repaired, or when they will be repaired. And I think, Dan, my hope is that by working with the jurisdictions, we have developed a formula by which the people who are the mayor and council and the authorities of their own kingdoms, if you will, that they get to have a say in which roads are fixed in their areas as well.
And Chuck Huckleberry has said this bond is pretty much the last opportunity to get this done. If it is voted down, what happens next?
If it is voted down, then one of the issues we've got, as I mentioned, we just had a very significant decrease in the property tax. What that means is that there's really no other fund for us to reach into. So I think what you'll see, Dan, is either the roads aren't repaired or we're going to have to start moving funds from areas where you're really going to be digging into the bone. And I know that others have suggested that there's a way to fund this by not spending in other buckets. Do we not support our community hospital? You know, what do we not pay? And I think sometimes, having worked in other areas of government, sometimes you can come up with a fix for the first year or so, but then you have so decimated other programs that are necessary. Do we decide that we're not going to have parks, or we're not going to have an animal care facility, or we're not going to have public health because we're paying for the roads? And the reality is that we've not had an increase at the state. I'm not blaming the state. It's simply a reality that we've not had an increase in the gas tax, and that we're all driving much more fuel-efficient cars. So the amount that we are receiving as a county from gas tax isn't what it used to be, and we've got to figure out ways to find other funding sources. We are the only county in the state that doesn't have a sales tax, which is why we took a look at that. It's something that it appears that the people in this community aren't willing to accept. So hopefully we'll find a method by which we can say, okay, here's the exact amount, here's what it's going to cost you. It's not going to go on forever taking a big chunk of money to pay the interest, because we're paying it back very quickly. And you can go on site and look at the map and decide which road gets fixed.
All right. Robert has called us at 790-2040. Robert, are you on topic here with roads? Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Jan Lesher.
Hello.
I was your cameraman for KUAT fundraising in 1980.
I'm not nearly old enough, Robert. You must be confusing me.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello. How are you?
I have a crush on you.
It's nice to hear you.
You are much more genuine than Mr. Huckleberry. How is it the reason that there's so much consternation is that he's such a smooth talker, and then he comes up with these wild bike paths and exploding balloon companies and, like, money out of a, like a rabbit out of a hat. So that's what got people all riled up. And I do believe that we need to pay the money to get the roads done, or it's not going to happen. But I suggest you get out in front.
Well, there you go. All right. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay. Jan, do you want to make any
comment?
No.
Okay.
That'd be kind of hard.
Other
yeah.
than it's nice to
talk
hear from Robert
boss.
After been
right.
a lot of years.
Yeah. Did he say 1980-something?
He did. I started working with you,
yeah.
Bill, at this day.
I came in 88, and we started working together.
My first fundraising campaign was in 1981.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm not, again, not old enough, am I?
Yeah. I'll drop a name. I remember when Savannah Guthrie started with us. She spent 4 years with us over at Channel 6.
Oh, and apparently she made some of herself.
Oh, my goodness.
She?
I can remember we did a fundraiser, one of those on-air ones that mm-hmm. went on, I swear to God, till 1:30
yes. yep.
in the morning.
I think
we did about 10 or 15 breaks. But those were kind of the good old days.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. All right, let's take our break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery. Jan, do you like bakery goods?
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah, you're not kidding. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The owner, Steve, and his team of bakers get up really early to make sure that bread that you're having right now on your sandwich at lunch came out of the oven just a few hours ago. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great partners that we have supporting our program. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at AdobeHouseAntiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, our Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and John Munger, plus the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Jan Lesher is here, Deputy Pima County Administrator Dan Scheer here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. The Worldview Damage Report came in at the meeting this week, the supervisors' meeting. It's around $500,000, something like that.
It was just under $500,000 ended up being the cost of the insurance coverage for the damage that was incurred during the accident last year.
And the policy could be, which is $1 million, could be increased.
It can, and this is why I was in a meeting yesterday where it was either directed to be increased or it has been increased, but I believe what I was last told is that it's up to $5 million per incident, and so the contract that we have with Worldview allows us to direct that they increase that insurance, and that's what is occurring. I think it was adequate for what occurred, but we don't know when you're dealing with. We've got a lot of, I hope, new activity going in at the whole aerospace research campus, and it's exciting new projects that are going on. Let's make sure that we have adequate insurance for whatever might occur. And it's hard to sit and decide what that might be in the future.
Two questions.
Sure.
One is, the incident was in December. Is the county satisfied with the speed and the thoroughness of the investigation? And number two, what came out of it, according to a story in the Arizona Daily Star, is that Worldview decided they were going to hire a safety director, which surprises me that they did not already have one.
Let me go back to your first question. Are we pleased with the speed and the
thoroughness?
Yes, with the thoroughness. We received input from the OSHA, FAA, and another group was involved. That's not coming to me right now. But there were many partners that came in and evaluated what occurred. I don't think any of us are ever happy with speed. I think we'd like things studied and reviewed tomorrow. But a lot of partners came in and evaluated from the federal NTSB. I'm sorry. It was the NTSB, FAA, and OSHA. So when you have three large federal organizations doing the evaluation, it takes some time. And so we did have a report come back in July, and worked with Worldview and the insurance providers to make sure that we had done a scrub of the report and that we were comfortable with the information. I am pleased, at least, that they're hiring a safety person at this point. With you, don't know what the full complement of the staff was previously, but I think it's a good addition for Worldview as we move forward on the partnership.
Dan, should I go to the phone, or do you want
sure.
me to do a quick? All right, let's go to Matthew. Matthew called us at 790-2040, and he is concerned about air quality. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been that great a summer for air quality, has it, Matthew? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, and thank you, Jan. I know you work very hard. Tony Davis has been following this for years, and every so often he comes out with the status of air quality. It looks like we've been slowly getting closer and closer to hitting the overall cap, the average per year, not just the breakdown in month to month.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like every time they dig into it, nobody seems to have a good answer as to what's driving Pima County's air quality other than the monsoons help relieve it. My concern is, obviously, we've done a lot of road construction. Could that be contributing? Also, could some of these new companies like Worldview, some of the techniques that they use with their stuff, be contributing because they're close to the sensors. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right.
Shirley, Matthew, I'm afraid I'm not the expert in that area. I don't know what is causing that increase other than just increased population and what goes with that. We work, I spend a lot of time with both our health department as well as Department of Environmental Quality because there's clearly a real linkage between monitoring the quality of the air and then the health, particularly in this community where we know many people have come into southern Arizona for health-related reasons. So I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that. I'm happy to try to get a little more information, and if there's a way to get it back to you, I can get with Bill another time, and he can give you an update down the road. I'm sorry I don't have specifics.
And I've got Beth Gorman, who will know exactly.
Beth knows
Beth
everything.
Will know. Beth will have.
That's right.
She'll be coming on the show. Within the next week or
she
so.
She will
so
know that, absolutely.
I want to take
DEQ.
A deep dive, and it hasn't been a very great summer for a lot of things. I mean, it's been a really, all our summers are hot, but this one seems to be, Jan, you've been around forever. I guess I can say I've been around forever after 30 years. This summer with the humidity has seemed worse.
I can't tell whether it's worse or I'm just getting older.
I don't,
it sure seemed to. I'm like you. Yeah, I'm a native, yeah. So it's. I've seen a lot of summers, but they seem to be getting. I'm grumpier.
Harder to take.
That's right.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to go to you. Then we'll go to back to the phones.
A week ago today, the county took the unusual step of, on its Facebook page, getting ahead of a television story that was going to be broadcast later that afternoon and evening, and it was about the Animal Care Center, and the county felt like it had not been treated fairly by the television station, bait and switch as far as reporters go. It wasn't the topic they'd agreed to talk about. It ended up kind of being a mess for everybody, but a good headline for the television station, which said they won't talk to us, which really isn't news, but I'm sure was great for their ratings. This is an odd media strategy to get out in front of a story that hasn't even aired yet. What was the decision-making process in all of that?
An issue came up that dealt specifically with a dog bite, a dog that had bitten someone, and we had an incident, and we knew that there was a great deal of interest about the situation that occurred and about a dog that bit people. We have spent considerable time at Animal Care trying to make for a different quality facility and to upgrade it. And we spend a lot of time reviewing our safety numbers and seeing whether or not we actually have dogs that are causing problems, how many dog bites we're getting out of the facility. The reality of a dog biting somebody, sadly, isn't news. It is news, and it's our responsibility if we have adopted out aggressive dogs, if we've not warned people, if we've not given acknowledgement to people that there might be a problem with the dog. So we thought it was important, knowing a story was coming, to let people understand how much goes into our work at Animal Care, dealing with behavior of dogs, making sure we're not putting what might be an aggressive dog into a family with children or other dogs. And so we're pretty proud of the work we do, and we wanted to make sure that got out there so that at least when people saw a story about an unfortunate incident, because those do occur, dogs do bite people, that there's at least a context for the individual at home who's listening to that story on television to be able to see what other facts are when you're dealing with 1,100 animals each month, and you are focusing on a specific incident, we wanted to just provide the context.
So then clearly something had happened during what was an attempted interview process that made the county believe all the facts weren't going to get out there, so you decided to go ahead and post something on Facebook.
Right.
Again, that's the unusual strategy, is you just felt like you weren't going to be treated fairly. Does it really come down to that?
I think that pretty well sums it up. We thought that we were not going to have an opportunity to explain another side of the case.
All right. David has called us at 790-2040, and he would like to revisit the air quality situation. And I understand a lot of people are concerned about our air quality. Go ahead, David.
Well, the reason why the ozone levels are rising is that comes from auto exhaust reaction.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up, David. Give it to me again. Okay.
Okay. The reason why the air quality is deteriorating is increasing the ozone levels, and that comes from auto exhaust. And the reason why you get more auto exhaust, there's more cars on the road. And the reason why more cars on the road, there's more development coming in. It was in the news a few weeks ago outrage about all the swallows being destroyed. Well, I know a guy who in the cactus salvage business, and they're scraping the desert rate of 40 acres every week or so, and the rate our desert's being turned into development, the increase in traffic from all that development is going to push us into non-compliance, and then we're going to lose our federal highway funding.
Okay, David, thank you. Jan, any comment about any points David made? Certainly, it's very sad to see saguaros bladed.
Always sad, and certainly not something we support or agree with. And I think the other part of that is that some of us have either spent time or lived in Phoenix for a period of time and know what happens to a community if you fall out of attainment. Mm-hmm. So it's something we watch very closely. As you've mentioned, you have someone coming on from our Department of Environmental Quality soon, and I'm sure she can answer your questions.
And by the way, on Thursday of next week, we have Anna Olivares,
yes. Who's the head of the Department of Transportation.
Who replaced
Priscilla Cornelia.
Priscilla, who was here for a long time, and this will be my first opportunity to meet her.
You'll love her.
She has a huge job. I mean, even if, take away the upcoming vote on bonds, I mean, just trying to maintain what we've got right now is roads.
Just running a large department every day, and particularly in a community, roads is what's discussed a lot. And everyone drives on roads, knows roads, and would like theirs fixed first. So there's a lot of community and constituent input that she receives regularly.
Okay, Dan, another one for Jan.
Very last thing, then, would be the PAC, again, the Animal Care Center. The costs are going up. Medical care costs for animals are going up. You have a new facility, so the costs are there. Also, do you think you're going to be facing some big decisions as far as some of the fundamental ways that PAC is operated if the costs keep going up and you're unable to contain them?
Two parts of that, Dan. I think our hope is that the costs are not going to be going up, and by that, one of the way that we have built this animal care facility that actually is coming in under budget a little bit is to make sure that it's designed appropriately to allow us to get the greatest cost efficiencies. We just very simple ways of making sure that the medical facilities are next to recovery rooms. It seems simple. We didn't have all of this before, so we spent a lot of time with staff running animals back and forth, moving things around. We believe an efficient facility is going to allow us to keep the costs at the current levels. But the other thing we're doing, quite frankly, is knowing that one of the things that drives up cost is we have a community that cares a great deal about animals and wants them taken care of and wants medical care provided. So we now are partnering with Friends of PAC, a new organization in the community that's the philanthropic side, and that we realize there are things that we might want to do to take care of an animal and to provide quality care that's not necessarily something that your tax dollars, if we had to just decide in sort of that hard line, what can we spend, what can we do, here's the basic public health need, rabies control, kenneling, et cetera, that's the appropriate use of your tax dollars. How do we complement that and ensure that if costs are expanding, we're reaching out to the philanthropic community and a very generous community that cares about animals and offset any of the additional costs of enhanced or expanded services through charitable donations?
All right. I've got two questions and 3 minutes, so you're going to have to really...
I talk fast.
Yeah, okay. Why is the county buying the former, is it Golden Pins?
Golden Pin.
Which had, I don't know, 48 lanes or something? I don't know how many.
A lot of lanes.
Okay.
We started.
Do you remember that facility when you were growing up here in town?
I've bowled there, you betcha. we began several years ago, about 8 years ago, looking for a new location for our North Health Clinic, which is at Prince and First. It's leased space. It's not good space. That was what began to drive us to look for a new facility. We finally saw that the Golden Pin Lane was for sale based on access to public transportation near Oracle on Miracle Mile and other adjacent facilities. We realized that we could move out of about 5 different facilities that are leasing space currently, adult probation, workforce development, women's health issues, as well as a public health facility, and move them all into one building that would be owned by the county. We believe it'll take just about 7 years till we break even and get out of paying money for rent and keeping it all within an easily accessible quality facility owned by the county.
How about Operation Stone Garden? Is that going to result in deputies being laid off by the county no longer being associated with that federal program.
Bill, it's my understanding that Sheriff Napier has indicated that layoffs might have to occur if we do not accept the HIDTA grants, which is the high-intensity drug trafficking grants. I have not heard about layoffs related to Stone Garden. Stone Garden is primarily overtime and mileage and such to support border activities, so I think there might be overtime impacts. A great question for Sheriff Napier. I have not heard of layoffs associated with that program.
Dan, did you have anything further?
No, just glad to talk to Jan. I had run cross paths with her years ago, mm-hmm. and I know the county takes a lot of flack. They take a lot of hits in the media and talk shows and everything, and I know you're out there doing your best.
We're sure trying. Thank you, Dan.
No Green Valley County related questions?
You know, the bond is very, very heavily discussed down there, the roads bond, and mm-hmm. overall, from what I'm hearing, I would have to say at this point that it is supported.
That's great news.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jan Lesher, have a great weekend.
Thank you too, Bill.
All right. We will take our break right here. Then Joe Ferguson will join us from the Arizona Daily Star, and we'll have our roundtable portion of our radio hour here. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
It is the Buckmaster Show. We are pushing toward 12:39 on this Friday afternoon. Joe Ferguson joins us from the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Gentlemen, it seems like Ann Kirkpatrick and Dr. Matt Hines are really beating each other up over the airwaves. And I'm just wondering, and Joe and Dan, could this, if there's enough blowback, people don't like negative ads, I don't know, could this help maybe like a Bruce Wheeler emerge?
I think it's really possible that you could see somebody really kind of gain traction on this as they get turned off from seeing specific candidates go so negative. But, you know, we have about somewhere between 25% to 30% of the ballots already back, already voted on thanks to early ballot. So, you know, some of these last minute issues that are kind of creeping up now that, you know, are really causing the frustration, you know, a lot of people have already voted.
Mm-hmm. And what's the big point of contention between Kirkpatrick and Hines?
Well, I think there's an argument about, you know, who really is carrying this kind of liberal banner, and both of them are attacking each other on votes they took either, in Kirkpatrick's case, in Congress in a different district, or Hines, who was in the state legislature. Some of these votes go back 6-8 years. So, you know, they're really kind of cherry-picking certain areas to really make their point that Kirkpatrick once supported the NRA, or that Hines, you know, made some votes that muddle his, you know, true thoughts about health care.
You don't need a large percentage, Dan, to win when you've got seven candidates.
No, and I think that's the biggest surprise of this race is that we had seven and we still have seven, and they're all going to the end. I will also point out Murray Mattiello was the surprise for me in that her resume is very strong and she pretty much has just petered out. She's just kind of a non-player, and that really surprised me. I thought actually she might make a good run at it. And then, of course, Matt, you know, he's throwing a lot of his own money into it, but you're exactly right. Bruce Wheeler is the one who's hoping that they basically cut each other down so far that people aren't going to pay attention anymore, and then they will look for a savior, and it'll be him. And he's strong; he has a good track record. He has he's very candid. He's very good with people, and he is saying some things that a lot of the people in the Democratic Party want to hear. So, could it happen? Probably not. Be honest with you, because money still buys elections, and Bruce doesn't have any.
Yeah, and Joe, you made a good point. 25% of the early ballots already in. This is pretty typical as I think back over 30 years here in town. Used to be it was the last-minute mailers that were sent out over the weekend, right? Right before people went to the poll. Remember? I know you remember that, Dan.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, I think that we're going to still see more and more mailers, more and more attacks, more and more viciousness until we get up to Election Day as they fight over a smaller and smaller group of people who haven't voted. The pragmatic people who just can't, you know, make a vote until the very last minute. But it's hard to say. I mean, you know, you made a great point about Bruce not having a lot of money. And we might see somebody like Billy Kovacs kind of ride a wave. I mean, certainly in an unknown bartender in New York is, you know, one of the top Democrats right now in the country, and Billy could, you know, live off that kind of vibe. He's very fresh, he's very vibrant, he's very young, and there are people who are looking for new faces in politics right
and
now.
And Billy has done well in the forums. I've been a little bit surprised. It's what I'm hearing is that he's the future of Southern Arizona, you know, Democrats, but he is it's not quite his time yet for one reason or another. I think some people feel like he could have made some wiser decisions maybe, and maybe gone after a little bit more money. We certainly aren't gonna, this isn't the last we're going to see of him, and he's been very interesting to watch.
How about Leah on the other side, Leah Marquez Peterson?
Well, you know, it's her, and then you have three men who are running against her, and I've talked to all three of them, and they are, again, they have no money. She's pretty much just trying to ignore them, which really bothers a lot of people down there, particularly me, because if you're running, I don't care if it's a primary or general, you need to be out there talking to the public, not just to people who can fill the campaign coffers. So she has been disappointing in that respect. Will she get the nomination? Could be, but I hear Brandon Martin's name a lot more, sometimes in negative ways, sometimes positive. But I would look for her probably to go forward with it, and then we'll have a much more interesting race that we can just focus on two people going forward.
Did Martha McSally answer your phone call eventually, Joe Ferguson?
We got 10 minutes with Martha McSally a couple hours before my deadline.
That's the first time you had spoken with her in a while.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to the campaign much. I suspect Dan has the same kind of issues.
A little bit, but we're accessible. I've met just with her new communications person out of Washington, not the campaign, and that was a couple weeks ago. Actually, yeah, probably just last week. So there's that, and again, it's not the campaign, but it's her person.
To be clear, I was talking about the campaign.
Absolutely.
The official side's always been in contact and does talk to us, but the campaign... been busy in other parts of the state.
Well, and I was talking to this guy, and people, we should really clarify that, you know, when you are a sitting member of Congress and you are running for re-election, you have two different staffs. One's campaign, and one is the one that's doing the work in Washington, and they should never be talking to each other or collaborating or doing anything like that. So one will send you to the other if that's what your question is. But, you know, let's cut to the chase here. Is Martha McSally forgetting Southern Arizona? I don't think so, not in the least. But let's face it, most of the votes are up in Maricopa County, and our biggest issue is that people don't know the name. So it's been kind of understandable. We have had access to her, for instance, after the Helsinki incident with Trump, that she did give a statement out when we asked. And so she still is accessible.
Okay, Dan Scheer has been very busy. We've not had him on the show, it seems like, in a long time. You were on vacation. Where did you go?
Well, we were supposed to go to Nicaragua, and Civil War has a way of changing vacation plans. So we did not go there. We ended up going to San Luis Obispo.
I love that area.
Yeah, Morro Bay, and saw the elephant seals. And I just needed to get away a little bit and clear my head, and it was nice.
A million years ago, we were honeymooning in Cambria by the Sea.
Yes.
What a beautiful place.
Had lunch there.
We've been back a couple of times since, right by the Hearst Mansion.
Yep.
Okay, Green Valley Hospital changes.
It's no longer Green Valley Hospital. It's called Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital. That's official starting now. They came out of bankruptcy. The hospital itself is about 3 years old. It went into bankruptcy earlier this year, came out. They laid off 60 people. If you look at the staffing level going into that week, they had 303 employees, and they're down to roughly 250, which is probably better. Things really do slow down in the summer, but 250 was always what we were told it would be staffed at, so the layoff was not too much of a surprise and probably was necessary. You still have you do not have an owner operator. You have an operator who's separate from the owner, and the owner is an investment group that I'm going to guess is going to flip it at some point. The operator is very experienced in coming into failing medical facilities and trying to turn them around. So
it's a state-of-the-art facility, pretty much.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, and it is state-of-the-art. It has it's just what it lacks is patience.
Yeah.
And so and it's probably
got,
was
it's got all the latest bells and whistles in the operating theaters.
Right. Exactly. And what they need are the proper doctors down there to handle certain types of cases. And again, it was probably overbuilt. It's 49 beds. Probably should have been half that. Now they have a new problem. Northwest is looking at building a hospital in Sahuarita, which would be 18 beds. And so here they are roughly 8 miles apart. That's going to be a little dicey.
Joe, the Arizona Daily Star last Sunday had the polling on a couple of very interesting items. The county bonds looks like it was doing pretty well. And the parks issue, the city parks issue.
It looks like, you know, that roads are still a top priority for people. The county has been trying to crack that nut for a couple of years now and really has struggled to find a way to pay for what they estimate to be a $1 billion issue. So this bond is being told by even people like your last guest as, you know, kind of the Hail Mary in terms of actually getting something done in the near future. And so, you know, when you couch it in those kind of terms, I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of people that are willing to say, yeah, I can kind of get on board with it, especially if they keep their promise not to raise taxes.
Hmm. Were you surprised, Dan, by those numbers?
Oh, I don't think I was too surprised. Again, we're hearing good things about the bonds down in positive things, I should say, in Green Valley. And I think people are believing the line that if we don't do this, then there really isn't a plan B at this point. Mm-hmm. And they do see that the county has gone down several roads, as we had detailed with Jan Lesher, trying to get this solved, and it didn't work. And so it's kind of this or nothing. And, you know, back in 2015, that was over $800 million. In bonds, 99 different projects, 7 questions, everything went down, shocked the county without a doubt. $400 million, you know, plus is a little more palatable.
Is your city manager overpaid in Green Valley?
Well, if you look at the stats of what other managers are paid from similarly sized cities, then he's grossly overpaid. So what we did is we looked at town and city manager pay from across Arizona, and Sarita is ranked about 30th as far as population goes. Our city manager makes is ranked 19th. He's making $181,000. By comparison, I think let's look at Nogales is $134,000. Sierra Vista, which is twice our size, is $137,000. Oro Valley is $160,000. So I think Marana and Tucson were the only ones in southern Arizona that make more than him. But I have towns our size. City manager's probably right in the 130-140 range, but he has received 5 raises over the last 5 years to the tune of about $48,000. That doesn't bother me so much. What bothers me is that it's his reviews are done in executive session, and we don't know why they keep giving him raises. Now, we're not saying he's not doing his job. He's very good, quite honestly. And if you want to be a premier community, mm-hmm. you need to pay people. Yeah. So compared to others, yes, he looks overpaid. What we didn't look at yet are the benefits.
Okay. Joe, anything that you would like to direct our listeners to for the Sunday paper?
We're working on a bunch of things. I think that you're going to see some great things come out of the paper. I'm very excited about something that a couple of my colleagues, Patty McClure and Carol Ann Alimo, are working on right now. But until the ink's dry, I don't want to say too much.
Okay. And Dan, your new role with WIC Communications, editorial director, you kind of oversee... What does that entail?
So I work
You've got how many papers?
We got almost 30 papers in 11 states, and so I deal with all the editors and any issues they have going on, and different projects that we have within the.
Tom is making a like you fly to. Have to go to all these papers.
I will make it to most of them.
Okay.
I'm heading to Washington State here in a couple of months. So
good.
So we just bought Wenatchee, right, dead center of the state. So yeah, you know, a little bit of that. But my first love, and I get to keep the job, is editor of the Green Valley News and Sawadita Sun.
Okay, thank you, Dan, and appreciate your support of our show.
Thank
also,
you.
Joe, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All righty then, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway, just a three-hour drive to Silver City. How about some hiking in that very much greened-up Gila National Wilderness after the wonderful summer thunderstorm rains they've been getting over there? It's a beautiful portion of the Southwest United States and Southwest New Mexico. Please visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all the great places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The host of, longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, and Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, sir.
There you go. What is this about a Bavarian beer hall coming to town?
Yes, the local beer and bratwurst brotherhood has reason to rejoice this weekend, Bill, because tomorrow is the grand opening of downtown Tucson's first traditional Bavarian beer hall.
Wow.
Located at 110 East Congress. It's called 1055 Brewing and Sausage House, and it marries 1055's craft brews that we've all come to love over the past few years with a menu that boasts 15 varieties of craft sausages that are all made right here in Tucson. We're talking traditional ones like brats and Polish, along with more exotic versions like rabbit sausage and venison sausage. And I just understand that Mayor Rothschild will be on hand to tap the first keg in true beer hall tradition. So don't miss this historic occasion. Starts tomorrow at 11 a.m.
I wonder if people will be dressed up in some of those funny costumes that they wear at the beer halls.
Getting Oktoberfest started a little early, right?
How about from beer to margaritas?
Yeah, let the shaking and stirring commence. It is the annual World Margarita Championship tonight at the El Conquistador. More than 20 master mixologists are going to be suiting up for battle beginning at 6 p.m., each out to show Southern Arizona why they think their margarita is award-worthy. There'll also be a food component of the competition this year, with the judges gauging pairing potential. I'll be returning as a judge again this year, along with serving as the MC. I have 20 margaritas to try tonight and MC an event Suffice it to say, it will be a designated driver evening for the host of Weekend Watch. It's all happening tonight at the El Conquistador World Margarita Championship.
Yeah, I know you're a certified taco judge, and I guess you also have the certification for the margaritas as well.
I don't think there's a food or drink that I'm not accredited to judge.
How about a brunch, a Sunday brunch tip, Matt?
Always looking for great Sunday brunches in town. I just stumbled across the brunch menu at Bird Bar and Chicken and thought it deserved a cluck or two. Personally, I'd start with the fresh oysters with smoked Tabasco and then navigate my way over to the pork shoulder Benedict with pickled onions and hollandaise. Some really fun options, Bill, including their Bird Chicken menu. Ooh. Check it out. You can get a half or a whole chicken prepared one of seven different ways. With a side dish, I thought the maple bacon whole chicken with a hush puppy side got my attention for obvious reasons. I say fly over to Ina and Oracle this Sunday for brunch at Bird.
Good choice. Thank you, Matt Russell. Have a great weekend.
Cheers. Thanks, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. We thank Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistant. All of our friends here at KVOI, including my engineer producer on Friday, Tom Fairbanks. Tom always does such a great job. Our KVOI operations manager and my Monday through Thursday engineer producer, Ray Allen. Funny Man production manager, Jerry Cross. Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff. All of our friends at KVOI wish you a very beautiful weekend.